feel free to take.
Welcome to Atlanta. I'm Joe Johnston. That's not necessarily a good name to show up in Atlanta with. Always makes me a little nervous. I figure if I deliver a subpar performance, President Davis might fire me, which happened to another guy named Joe Johnston down here during the late unpleasantness attributable to the Northern invasion. Today we're going to be talking about Richard Weaver. I want to introduce our panelists first and then say just a couple of basic words about Weaver. In order of their appearance, Steve Ely is a senior fellow at Liberty Fund. Prior to joining Liberty Fund, he was a professor of government at Armstrong State College in Savannah, Georgia. He edited the Eric Voglin Wilmore Kendall correspondence and has written on both Kendall and Voglin. He's published numerous essays and reviews on Robert Penn Warren and other luminaries. He's a member of the Editorial Advisory Board of Society and a contributing editor of Conversations on Philanthropy. Following Steve will be Dutton Carney, who is assistant professor at Aquinas College in Nashville, Tennessee, where he teaches literature and theology. He has taught courses on epic, that is, classical, Christian, and modern rhetoric, and in the area of 18th century studies. He received his graduate degrees from the University of Dallas and was awarded the Outstanding Faculty Member of the Year in 2008. He's been a Richard Weaver Graduate Fellow in 2001 and has published articles on numerous subjects, including Thomistic literary theory. So he's well qualified to speak on this topic today. And finally, we have Jim Stoner, who teaches at LSU. Professor Stoner received his degree, his PhD from Harvard University, and specializes in political theory, English common law, and American constitutionalism. He's the author of Common Law Liberty, Rethinking American Constitutionalism, and Common Law and Liberal Theory, Cook, Hobbes, and the Origins of American Constitutionalism, as well as a number of articles and essays. He's taught at LSU since 1988 and has chaired the Department of Political Science since 2007. Now, I know it for this audience, I don't really have to introduce Richard Weaver, and I'm not only going to just refresh your memory by mentioning that Weaver was born in North Carolina in 1910 and died, unfortunately, early in 1963. He did graduate work at Vanderbilt, and while at Vanderbilt, he studied under John Crow Ransom, who was a leading member of the Southern Agrarian Movement. Weaver was strongly influenced, of course, by the Southern Agrarians, who were a group of Southern writers, teachers, and critics at Vanderbilt, who had a significant influence on the literary world and on the development of modern conservatism. These were people like Alan Tate, John Crow Ransom, Robert Penn Warren, Andrew Lytle, Donald Davidson, and a number of others. These were people who favored an economy of small and medium-sized farms and businesses, and a society that emphasized individualism, strong local communities, family values, preservation of the land, religious faith, limited government, a classical education, and rigorous self-discipline, values which are associated with the tradition of the Old South. And Weaver retained those values generally throughout his career. Weaver was younger than the agrarians, but he added significantly, in my opinion anyway, to the depth of their local perspective by giving their ideas a deeper philosophical and historical context. And we will see when our speakers will tell us more about that this morning. Now, we're talking about rhetoric, and I was reading one of Weaver's essays, and I came across a wonderful passage from Milton that Weaver emphasized, and it seems to me gives us some idea of the continuing importance of rhetoric. It's too bad that rhetoric is not taught more frequently today. It's a critical subject because it lies right at the very heart of culture, of any culture. Milton said, and this is quoted in Weaver's essay on relativism and the use of language, quote, this is Milton, "When the language in common use in any country becomes irregular and depraved, it is followed by their ruin or their degradation. For what to terms used without skill or meaning, which are at once corrupt and misapplied, denote but a people listless, supine, and ripe for servitude." Now, of course, old Mill hit it right on the head there. And Weaver goes on after that, quoting that passage, and says, "Language is a social and cultural creation functioning somehow within the psychic constitution of those who use it. Thus, says Weaver, the question of stability in language cannot be separated from the psychic stability of the cultural group." Well, that's enough from me, and so I want to turn it over to our panelists, and we'll start with Steve Ely.